Almighty God, we thank and praise you again this morning for who you are. You are our God. We just praise you this morning, Father, for the privilege of prayer. You, in your goodness, sovereignty, almighty, you hear us. You don't have to respond. You don't have to even listen, but you do. You answer prayers. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die, to shed his blood for our sin. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your Word. Thank you for your goodness, O God. Thank you for each person here today. Thank you, Father, for churches that are gathering all over. Will you guide us by your Spirit, O Lord? We pray thy will be done in our churches. Always, always, Lord, we pray thy will be done in the church, your church. Father, will you forgive us for the times that we just haven't prayed? Will you forgive us, Father, for outright sin in America and the church? Will you forgive us, Lord, for doing things our own way without considering you? Will you forgive us, Lord, this morning for just not having any time for you? We need you, Lord. We need you. Every one of us here, everyone on the prayer focus, our families, our communities, our nation, the globe, we need you, Heavenly Father. We need you, Lord Jesus. And so forgive us for the times when we've thought or acted like we didn't, because we desperately do. We do pray for those on our prayer focus. There's sick people, Lord. There's dying people. There's people that have just died. There's lonely people. There's people that are addicted. There's people that are in jail. There's people that are in prisons. There's people that are in hospitals and care centers. There's people that are far away in missionary places and far away military places, Father. There's people that are alone. And we just want to pray this morning, you in your sovereignty, your omnipresence, speak to them, touch them, draw them near, save, redeem, justify, transform, heal, set the captives free. Thank you for each person here. May we hear from you as we continue to worship you. So help us, Lord, clear the schedules and perhaps even the clutter from my mind and our mind so we can hear from you. We can continue to worship you in spirit and in truth. We love you, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for being so willing to forgive us. Thank you that we can come on Sunday mornings and worship. Guide us as we continue to worship. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have been with us these last 3 weeks in our prayer series, you know that on the first Sunday, we spoke how God changes things. We saw the example from Moses crying out to God on behalf of the people when he said to Moses, "Step aside, I'm going to take care of them. I've had enough of them." And Moses intervened on their behalf. We saw how that pleading with God changed the course of the direction for those couple of million people. And if you were with us last week, you remember that we looked at one of my favorite verses, 2 Chronicles 7:14, when God said to Moses, if I send you attention getters, I'm trying to wake you up a little bit, trying to draw you back. If I send you those attention getters, he said in 14, if my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then God said to Solomon, I will hear you. I will hear you from heaven. I'll forgive your sins and I'll heal your land. Prayer is a good thing. Prayer is a necessary thing. Prayer changes things. Prayer keeps us in touch with the Master, keeps us in tune with God. And over the course of time, I'm sure that you have had people come to you, as I have had people come to me, and say, Jim, how do I pray? The Bible gives us some instruction. We're going to look at that today. But let me just say this, whether it's easy or hard for you to pray, keep pressing on in your prayer lives. Keep pressing on. God wants to hear from you. And we're going to see today, He wants to answer you. And so, I just want to encourage you, if praying doesn't seem to work, have you ever been there? Yeah, I thought so. I didn't think I was the only one there. If praying doesn't seem to work, press on. We're going to see from Matthew 7:7. You can turn there if you want to. Press on. Keep asking. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Press on to know Him more. Press on in your prayer lives, even when it seems like it isn't working. Press on. I told you, some of you, a while back, Marie had given me a book called Killing Christians. Some of you remember that. Remember that? Most of you don't, I guess. Anyway, she did. She gave me a book called Killing Christians. It's a powerful book by Tom Doyle. He also wrote another book called Dreams and Visions. Has anybody read that book? No. It's a great book. Matter of fact, I think I'm going to get it for our library. Dreams and Visions is about people in the Middle East, Muslim people, having very real, very vivid dreams and visions about Jesus. He's visiting thousands of them, most of the time in the night, but sometime in broad daylight. He's visiting them, and the word that he says to them first and foremost so many times, I love you. I love you. And they know, because even in their teachings, they've heard about the prophet Jesus. And they know by his presence who he is. And so this is a tremendous book. It tells about the people that are coming to Christ in masses. These people he's coming to. But my point is, people are praying. When they have had these dreams and visions, and they may have had a very regimented prayer life already. But when they have these dreams and these very real visions, and Jesus appears to them and says, come follow me, I love you, and these invitations, they eventually either turn to the Word or find a fellow Christian to say, what do I do next? But eventually, every one of them begins then to pray for other people. To pray that Jesus will show up to other people. To pray that other people will be set free from the captivity that they have been in. Whatever that may be. In that case, well, we know what it is. And Pastor Massey will be here September 13th to tell us all about that. Richard told us he'll be here. And he's going to tell us about his testimony. He's going to tell us the difference between Christianity and Islam. And on Sunday night, he's going to talk about jihad. He will enlighten us about this whole arena, this whole subject matter. But they are praying. When they come to know Jesus, these people want so much more to know Him more. And they're praying to Him, they're worshiping Him, they're sharing Him, and they're praying for other people. Crying out, God, show yourself to them too. And after reading these books that have so enlightened me, I find myself doing two things. I wake up in the night to pray. A lot of you do too. God wakes you up to pray. You know what I'm talking about? Some of you, you get woke up at night and He puts somebody on your mind. That's because He's asking you to pray for them. He does that to me too. And I found myself now being woke up in the middle of the night saying, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in the Middle East. Thank you, Lord, for the visions and dreams that these people are having and coming to Christ by the hundreds. And the other thing that I find myself doing is now praying, God, give Motley, Pillager, Leader, Staples, Lincoln, wherever we're from, give them a dream and a vision of Jesus. So that we that have been skeptical, or we that have been distant, our arm's length of God, are we that even sit in church and really don't know Him, I've been praying, Jesus, show yourself to us too. And so, I know sometimes we get a little discouraged because maybe we haven't seen no answers. Maybe we're too mad at God to even pray. You know what I'm talking about? You're too embarrassed or ashamed maybe to admit it, but you've been there. So have I. We didn't get answers from the last one. We didn't like the answer. And we get upset with our Heavenly Father. And, well, He didn't do nothing about that, so I ain't praying no more. Maybe we're too mad at somebody. Maybe it's the preacher. Maybe it's our spouse. Maybe it's our kids. Maybe it's our parents. Maybe it's a principal. Maybe it's our boss. Sometimes we're too mad. I ain't praying. Or we come to God in that mad frame of mind and our prayers ain't going to do any good because we've got to deal with that first. So I know there's hindrances to our prayer lives. I know that. And then there's the one that I'm going to talk about just a little bit today. And that's the one when people have come to me. And this is okay. I'd rather them come and talk about this when people come and say, Jim, I don't know how to pray. I just don't know how. And so today's message is for, in case you're wondering, well, how do I pray? Now I know that most of you look at praying like I do, kind of like breathing. Going to need to do it. You with me? Going to need to do it. Going to need to get up in the morning and going to need to do it. Or life isn't going to go so good if I stop breathing. I look at praying like that. For Jim's scheduled prayer starts every day. Needs to, must. And I wish I would take more time for prayer. But I find it kind of like breathing. And I know that's the case for a lot of you. Just got to do it. Just got to do it. But I also realize that for some it's hard. And so I want to give you some encouragement today from Scripture on the how to praise. And so James 7:7, I think a lot of you know that verse. It's the ask, seek, and knock, A-S-K verse. And a lot of you maybe have memorized it from childhood or maybe even recently. But I'm going to start there. And we're going to look at Scripture. But I also want to say this. From James chapter 1, verse 6, I'm going to talk about being persistent in our prayers. Being persistent. You say, preacher, I haven't heard no answers. I ain't seeing no results. Be persistent, Jesus said. But I also want us to think about two things. One that James said and one that Paul said. Number one, James in chapter 1, verse 6, he says, pray and don't doubt. In other words, when you come to the Father in prayer, come expecting. I say hallelujah. And so when we're asking, seeking, knocking, when we're coming to God in our prayer lives, take the advice of James when he says, ask in faith, not doubting. Okay, so that's what James says. And so when we're thinking about asking and seeking and knocking, James says, come in faith. Don't come doubting. And Paul says in his lesson to the Thessalonians, he says in 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. That's all the verse is. Pray without ceasing. And it goes right along with Jesus' challenge to us to keep asking, to keep seeking and to keep knocking. So I'm going to go over that briefly. That's some how to. Then we'll get to the Lord's Prayer and see more specifically how to. Matthew 7:7. I'm reading from the Amplified these verses this morning because it expands a little bit more than the King James, New King James, NIV, and so on. So bear with me. I'm reading from the Amplified version, Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11. Here's what he says. These are the words of Jesus. Keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Anybody say amen? Keep on asking, Jesus said. Keep on asking, and it'll be given to you. Keep on seeking and you'll find. Keep on knocking reverently and the door will be open to you. You're looking for direction, brothers and sisters? Keep on knocking and direction will be given to you. Am I following you right, Lord? Am I really following you right? Keep on knocking and direction will be given to you, Jesus said. For everyone, he says, who keeps on asking receives, and he who keeps on seeking finds, and to him who keeps on knocking, the door will be opened. Then he says, he gives us a little example. Or what man is there of you if his son asks him for a loaf of bread? Who among you, he said, are going to give him a stone if he's asked you for bread? Then he says, or if he asks you for a fish, are you going to hand him a serpent? He's giving us this little example to just suggest, you know how to give good gifts. Check out your Father in heaven and see what he does for you too. And he concludes that little challenge with this. If you then, evil as you are, he's talking to us, know how to give good and advantageous gifts to your children. After all, when we come to know Christ, we are his children. How much more will your Father who is in heaven, perfect as he is, give good and advantageous things to those who keep on asking him? I think that's good news. Don't you? I think that's very good news. And I think if our prayer life is somewhat non-existent, this probably isn't going to happen. He's probably not going to give us that good and advantageous That good and advantageous things that he spoke about if we're not praying, if we're not seeking, if we're not knocking. And so Jesus is saying to us, be persistent in your prayer life. You didn't see the answers yet? Keep praying. Keep trusting. And I want to encourage you, friends, you haven't seen your son, your daughter, your mom, your dad, your spouse, your boss, whomever you're praying for, come to Christ yet? Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ wholeheartedly. Keep praying. You haven't seen them healed. You haven't seen results. Keep praying. And I know we can use the argument because I know we have. Yeah, but I haven't seen no prayer, so I guess I'll quit. Jesus says, keep praying. Keep on asking. Keep on seeking. Keep on trusting and keep on knocking. Turn back in your Bible, if you will, to Matthew chapter 6. This is called the model prayer. You all know it. But I want to use it today just for a few minutes to help answer the question, how do we pray? And so Jesus gives us this model, gives the disciples that day the instructions and those people in the crowd how to pray. And he said in verse 5 of Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites. So he gives us a little how to and a little how not to. He expands on that. Why would he say that? Because he said they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, and that they may be seen by men. And so what he is saying here, if your prayer life is only to get a pat on the back from somebody, then don't bother. That's what he says. If that's all you're praying for, if that's all I pray up here for, then Jim, don't bother. Because he said, assuredly, I say to you, they have the only reward they're going to get if it's that pat on the back. Oh, good job, preacher. If that's why we're praying, don't bother. He said, they got the only reward they're going to get. But when you pray, he says in 6, go into your room, And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I can't emphasize enough, brothers and sisters, if you don't have a time, a specific time, to get alone with God every day, please carve one out in your schedules. We need to have that time of prayer. We need to. If we claim to know Jesus Christ as Lord of our lives, we need to spend time with Him. And if we don't know Him yet as Lord, we need to seek Him and keep seeking Him and keep knocking, because He will reveal Himself to us. And so if you don't have that time, that secret place, that time that you spend with the Father, please carve that out and spend time with Him every day. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from us. And so Jesus goes on. When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. And you might say, well, doesn't that contradict what you just said in Matthew 7 when you said, keep on, keep on, keep on? No, it doesn't. Vain repetitions is a phrase over and over and over and over and over and over. Vain repetitions. He says, don't bother with that. For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, Jesus said. Your Father already knows what you need. Our Father already knows what's best for us. Now let me just say this, I don't think I said this in the earlier service, but needs and wants are two different things. Are you hearing me this morning? You look a little drowsy. Needs and wants are two different things. Your Father in heaven, Jesus said, knows your needs already. He probably knows your wants too. Guess what He's likely to grant? He's probably going to respond more to your need than our wants. But anyway, Jesus said, your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask. So when you pray, pray like this. And you know the model because you've repeated it. You've maybe grew up with it. Maybe you haven't. But this is called the model for prayer. And the very first thing we should remember when we are praying is to address God for who He is. Are you still with me, friends? He's not a puppet on a string. He's not a genie in a bottle. Poof! Give me three of your wishes and I'll grant them for you. He is God. He is almighty. He is sovereign. He is eternal. And Jesus, when He taught us to pray, as He taught the disciples that day, the first thing that we should do in our prayer lives is say, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed is your name. Not hallowed is Jim's or anybody else's. Hallowed is His name. The very first things we should do in our prayer lives is recognize who He is and address Him for who He is. And hallowed is His name alone. Amen? That's how we should come to Him. It's very similar to what God said to Solomon last week in 2 Chronicles 7:14 when He said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves. Will humble themselves. Friends, we have got to get self out of the way. We come to Him, we've got to come to Him in pure humility, recognizing He is God. He is God. When these people I referred to in the book Dreams and Visions are seeing God, or seeing Jesus Christ, they're falling before Him. They're trembling. They're in the presence of the living God. When we come to the Heavenly Father, we got to remember who He is and who we are. That's why Jesus said, this is how you pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's how we come to Him. And within our prayers, we should remember some things. Who He is, reverence to Him. And we should remember to be praying for His will. His will. Jim has a will. You have a will, I bet. But we need to seek God for His will to be done in our lives. And that's how Jesus teaches us to pray. Thy kingdom come, O God. Thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. That's how He asks us to pray. Jesus said, pray this way, Jim. Pray this way, people of God. Recognize who He is and ask for His will to be done in our lives. And so our prayers should be one of reverence and one of praying, Your will be done in this church, in my life, in my family, in my job, in this community, in that plan, in that plan, in that plan. Your will be done, O God, because Your will is better than my will. Your will is more important than my will. And so Jesus says when we come to Him, pay reverence to Him, Almighty God, and pray, Your will be done in me, O God. May Your will genuinely be done in me. And Jesus shows us when He says, give us this day our daily bread. It's okay to ask for daily provision. Marie can tell you, missionaries can tell you, military people that have been around the world can tell you, only in this blessed nation on earth do we walk to the refrigerator and get thy daily provision. That's the only one. The rest of the world, by and large, the rest of the world prays and means, give us this day our daily bread. Because they can't walk to the refrigerator and get their daily bread. Many of them can't even walk down to the market and get their daily bread. It's okay to ask for daily provision. And much of the world asks, give us this day our daily bread. And they mean it because they don't have any. They don't have any fridge to go to. It's okay to ask for your daily provision. Jesus said, it's okay. Give us this day our daily bread. We've got things so good in America. I find myself, when I'm praying the Lord's Prayer, and I do every day as part of my prayer regimen, I find myself saying, God in heaven, give us this day, give me this day, give us this day our daily bread, knowing that man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's the bread I want. That's the bread I need. He supplied me with daily provision, praise be to God. But I want the Word of God as my daily provision too, His Word. And so it's okay to ask for daily provision. You hurt, it's okay to ask for strength. Your spouse hurts, your kids hurt, whomever. It's okay to cry out to our Father for daily provision. Somewhere in our prayer lives, there should be confession of sin to God. He says in there, in this model prayer, He says to say, forgive us our trespasses, forgive us our debts, forgive us of our sins. Somewhere in our prayer lives, brothers and sisters, it needs to be confession and repentance of sin. We want to keep that avenue of prayer open. Remember what I said to you a couple weeks ago, Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord cannot hear. We want to keep that avenue open. And so our prayer lives must include confessing and repentance of sin. And as we're confessing and repenting of our sin, we're asking God, please do it. Please forgive me. You know I've messed up. You know I've outright sinned against You or my spouse or my neighbor or my boss or the IRS or whatever it is. And then He says, forgive me as I forgive those who sinned against me. You see that contingency? Forgive me because I am going to forgive whomever, for whatever, For whenever, that's what he says in his model prayer. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our sin, as we forgive those who sinned against us. That's how he teaches us to pray. Have a forgiving heart. Have a heart that's willing to ask for forgiveness. Jesus said, let me press on because our time is pressed on. And you know the way he teaches us. And let me just say this from this last verse because I love it. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The New Living Translation says it this way, perhaps even better for me to understand. I don't know, maybe you already understand it. And don't let us yield to temptation, but rescue us from the evil one. We need to pray that way. The evil one is going to be flinging his arrows and shooting at you if we don't have the armor on. Ephesians 6. The enemy is going to be shooting at you. He's going to be taking advantage of situations. You're tired, you're hungry, you're lonely, you're tempted. He's going to be taking advantage of that. And so our prayer should also say, Father, don't let me yield to temptation. Rescue me from the evil one. That's the way Jesus teaches us to pray. Really, though, if you're a praying person, there's no wrong way to pray. Just pray. Give him praise. Confess sins. Give him thanks. Pray for those around you. There's really no way, wrong way, if we'll do that. Praying is just so good and so helpful for us. And so let me close with this. I was in the men's group meeting here a Saturday or two ago, and we were listening to Patrick Morley, who leads Man in the Mirror. Some of you may have read his books. And he said this, in your men, he was talking to men that day, but all of us, in your doing God's will every day, every one of us makes plans for every day. We get up in the morning, we probably plan to, well, this, that, and the other thing. I don't need to go into details. You get it. We make plans. Morley says every one of our plans should be prefaced with prayer. You say, well, I do that, Jim, when I'm thinking about which college I'm going to, if I should change jobs, who I'm going to marry, maybe even if I should buy this car. I do that with the biggies. Morley challenges us to pray before we plan for everything. Every day, every event, every decision. Pray for God's direction. I told the earlier service, I do a lot of praying because I need to do this, I need to do that. I did a wedding yesterday, I got another one next Saturday. I got a funeral this week, and there'll be more in the future. And I got Bible studies to study for, and I got sermons to study for, and I got my own prayer time and my own devotion time, and I got decisions to make every day just like you do. And I need to be in prayer about every plan. Every plan needs to be prayed about first. And so as I've said the last couple of weeks, Jess, we're going to sing. Come on and play, get ready to play for us. As I said the last couple of weeks, I hope we are a praying people. I hope that your prayer life is vibrant and active. I really hope that if you're not even sure how to pray, you'll read again from the good word, the good instruction that Jesus gave us in Matthew 6 and 7, we've looked at them today. I pray that if you don't even know how to pray, you'll use that as a model. But I pray we're a praying people. Friends, I've told you the last couple of weeks, our nation needs our prayers. You know what I'm talking about? Our nation needs our prayers. Our churches need our prayers. Families. Dying people. Older people that are dying and don't know Jesus. They need our prayers. Time's running out. Addicts, like Kevin told us, he ministers to in the streets of Fresno. They need our prayers. Homeless people, confused people about who God is, about what sexuality is, atheists. They need our prayers. We're not too good to pray for them. We need to be praying for them, all of them. Pastors, priests, and presidents need our prayers. And so I hope that you're a praying people. Next week we're going to look at John 17 and how Jesus prayed. It's called His Intercessory Prayer. And the week after that, we're going to look at who do we pray for specifically. You may not realize or even like what the Bible says when it says pray for this, pray for that. 2 weeks we're going to look at that. Who do we pray for? And so while we're singing this last song, it's called Great is Thy Faithfulness. And He really is, friends. He really is. If you'll trust Him, if you'll surrender to Him completely, He is so faithful. While we're singing that, if you want to come to the altar and pray, you go ahead. If you want me to pray for you or us to pray for you, we'll pray for you. But remember the instructions of Jesus today. Don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking Him. Don't stop knocking. Be a praying people.